Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
We're going to be covering Upstairs, Downstairs, Season 2, Episode 5, The Last Waltz.
Okay. Yeah, we are. We have caveats, which include that there will be cursing. 100% certain there will be cursing.
1,000% really.
Yeah, if that's worth it. But yeah, no, there's no chance there will be no cursing in this. There obviously will be spoilers for this show if you've not seen it. Upstairs, Downstairs 2010 is dramatic, as you will see. And we are having things to drink. What are you having to drink now?
I am having Angry Orchard Sinful Apple Cider. Sinful.
Oh, yeah. It actually is really good, though.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to other sinful things that are less good.
I knew you were going to say that.
It is quite tasty.
It is tasty.
Well done. I am having a drink that goes by many names, but I am calling it Pritchard's Revenge.
What the fuck?
It is, I first had it as a version of a French 75 in New Orleans. It is also in the Regency Book of Drinks, although it's called Love Match there, and that's not appropriate for this show. So because of the ingredients, I think I can just play with whatever name I want to, because a real French 75 would have like gin and lemon juice and stuff like that. This calls for 2 ounces of cognac, simple syrup, lemon juice, and an egg white, and champagne. It's frothy. It's actually tasty. I like this as a drink. I'm not sure how I feel about it as Pritchard's Revenge, but I'm not sure how I feel about this episode or this show for that matter. So I think it's appropriate here.
Yeah, we had a conversation with our listener and we were debating on whether or not it's entertaining or not, or if we're just mad.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're just mad. And to be honest, thinking about like in the future, like, are we going to rewatch this ever again? I don't know if I can.
I don't know if I can.
For my own sanity, I don't know if I can do it.
Well, especially this season, my God. Anyway, so let's get started.
Pritchard is at the movies. That's the least of our
problems.
It's
a movie about a cruise show. A cruise
ship.
Ship and love
romance.
Story and whatever.
Hallam and Percy are getting dressed after sex in the hotel. I just
vomit.
Ah!
I put you, but then they get all playful with each other, and then I put vomit.
They're trying to make it cute. And I'm just like,
why are you trying to make this cute? Like, it's acceptable in some way. This
no.
is unacceptable.
They're acting like boyfriend, girlfriend, like cute, lovey, whatever. Like, what they didn't do, what they just did wasn't awful.
On so many levels.
Wrong on so many levels.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing.
I would just like to say, regardless of if she was Agnes's sister, or regardless of, even if he wasn't Agnes's husband at all, he's still having sex with a former Nazi
mm-hmm.
who has not mended her ways whatsoever. She just got scared of the riots and left Germany. That's the reason why. She didn't have any misgivings about the Nazis or their cause.
Well, and the only reason he went to get her is because Agnes told him to. I mean, let's just say that Agnes and Percy are unrelated. He still doesn't have any like reason to think that she's mended her ways. He's even said that. So what the fuck is your excuse in your head, fucking Hallam?
But then we add the layers of the fact that it's her, his wife's sister.
Yeah.
And it's even worse. Anyway, and he shouldn't trust Percy anyway. She's completely untrustworthy and he should know that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Agnes is taking the kids to Buckinghamshire and she tells Percy, who seems surprised, and she's like, oh, well, shouldn't you tell Hallam? It's like, why do you care?
Well, right.
Why do you fucking care?
Well, and actually, it's like, it's just been so terrible lately, and we're barely speaking, and it's just awful. So she does, though, because Agnes is a good person. Agnes goes and tells Hallam, look, I'm leaving. And the only thing he has to say, he's a little upset that she hadn't said anything beforehand, but he's really like, well, how long are you going to be gone? Like, how long can I be fucking your sister?
And she says that she has been miserable. These have been the most miserable times of her life.
And hasn't he been miserable too? And he says nothing.
And she says that they both need time to think. And when you look at it from Agnes's perspective, she just broke off that emotional cheating thing with Landry.
She's feeling guilty.
She's still feeling guilty about it. And she's thinking that she's the one who wrecked their marriage, regardless of how Hallam was making her feel before the emotional affair.
Right. All she knows is how he's making her feel now, which is mm-hmm. guilty and bad, when in fact that's just a projection of him feeling guilty and bad, or it's should be.
Absolute horseshit.
Oh, it's horseshit. It's awful.
It's clown fuckery. Anyway, I was re-listening to the podcast, I like heard that word. I was like, oh wow, I really got creative.
Yeah. At some point, well, I will use a word later. I think
she says she'll be gone, but she doesn't know how long she's going to be gone, because I think she knows that they both need time to themselves to think about what they want their marriage to be at this point.
And he's like, how long is that going to take so I can go fuck your sister?
Anyway, can I get a timeline? Pritchard, I want you to have your emotional breakdown on my timeline. Mm-hmm. It's like, fuck off. She needs time to think. You should use this time not to fuck her sister, but to think about your marriage.
Well, and like your poor life choices.
Awful.
Fucktard. Oh, he's so.
Pritchard gets a note from Agnes, and he is joining a ball council. It's a servant's ball that's raising money for the hospital.
They also within the house are working on kind of a bomb shelter, because everyone's still anticipating war's coming. Hallam and Percy,
yeah, they're at dinner.
Alone at dinner, and they're of course Percy. You know, like she's like, well, you know, so
maybe it's for the best that she's gone. And he says, "How could it possibly be for the best? Agnes is my wife," and I put in all caps, "Exactly, you fucker, start acting like it."
Well, right, this isn't a situation where he doesn't know. Like, he knows he's doing wrong. He's making that conscious choice every single fucking time.
And I don't being get cute it. With Percy, for, and he's making that conscious choice. Like, this is not against his will by any means.
No, but so while they're having this conversation, he is aware that she's like, oh, it's okay for us to talk. Because he's like, I told you we can't talk about this here. And she's like, oh, it's okay. No one's going to say anything. Like, Pritchard's not a person. Because Pritchard's in the room and serving them at the time. And Hal's kind of like, yeah, we can't. No.
Also says he shouldn't have let it go this far. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. You shouldn't have. What are you doing to stop it now? Nothing. Anyway, the ball the servants will go to is themed for historical figures and literature.
So characters. They decided to go with Robin Hood.
Well, Agnes suggested it. And Pritchard goes to the council, and the head of it is a classist woman. And he makes friends with one of the women on the council.
Yeah.
Anyway, Spargo and Beryl flirt as he boards up the garage. He suggests going to America, and she's unsure. Hallam finds out that the office is negotiating with Russia and seeing if they could be on side.
Well, right. So, but they're sending somebody that he thinks is incompetent.
Yeah.
I do want to kind of go back to a downstairs thing. Beryl is impressed by Spargo, and he's like trying to put things together, and he suggests that they go to the United States. I'm sorry.
I just said that.
I'm so sorry. So yes, Hallam gets this letter about Orc. He thinks that the person is that they're sending to negotiate with the Russians is incompetent and isn't going to take it seriously.
Yep. The servants discuss the war and the ball. It's not very interesting. Kent and the Duke of Kent and Hallam discuss the Russian stuff. And since Agnes is staying with the Duchess of Kent at their country estate, it's an elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Kent says that this is just a rough patch. And I said, by the name of Percy. And what Hallam says is fascinating.
Okay, yeah.
What he says is everything ultimately I did for Agnes.
Yeah, like, so.
No, you fucked her sister for her?
No, I don't
that
think
was
so.
For her?
No.
Oh, it was for your own good that I fucked your sister. I slipped and my dick fell into your sister. And that was for you, though. That was for you. For what purpose, sir?
Yeah, so. When Kent is talking about her, though, Hallam starts talking about, oh, Agnes is the heart of my life, and
that acts like it.
Well, and Hallam says that he feels like he's no longer necessary to her, and he starts whining, and then he says, if Agnes doesn't need me, I'm quite lost. It's like, look, you fucking loser, you chose to get lost
before the Landry situation.
Thrown away your identity.
Even before the Landry situation, people were telling you, hey, reach out to your wife. She's pulling away from you. Even before the Landry thing happened, I think it was Blanche who told you that. And then, on top of everything else, Agnes was making good strides in, like, taking an interest in what you're doing. She was reaching out to you, and you ignored her.
You're not listening because you take her for granted because you're a loser! But, yeah, okay, so Spargo takes Hallam home. Percy is playing the same music that she played in Germany.
Mm-hmm. Really, the night really of their low. First kiss. Oh,
you know, and she's clearly trying to like get him back in the mood for like the sex stuff because I think she had taken this, oh, we're not allowed to talk about it. Well, Agnes is away, I guess, as a rejection. So she's just trying to pull him back in. Hallam talks to Percy and he talks to her about his work because he's a fucking idiot, and he tells her about the person that they're sending, this Admiral Acronym, and
is what they call him in the War Office.
Yeah, he has a very long set of names, and it's kind of a joke, and Percy's kind of like, oh, how funny, haha. But it is a joke that is very much within the War Office.
It's contained.
It's very contained. So he feels like things are falling apart. This is what Hallam says. And Percy's like, oh, you're a good man. And she touches his hand and I wanted to vomit.
Pritchard talks to the woman from the council and then they discuss Agatha Christie novels, etc. Mm-hmm. He invites the woman to tea and she agrees.
Her name is Miss Whitsett.
I don't care.
And they also say they're going to go to a movie.
Yeah, sure. Spargo goes to apply for a visa and starts dreaming big about America. Percy he hears a noise coming from the garage and he comes in. It's Percy looking for matches, quote unquote.
And he's by the petrol. I don't think
that makes a lot of sense to store them next to each other. Mm-hmm. And she tries to flirt and fails. Eunice notices lipstick on the collar of Hallam's shirt, even though it's not Agnes's color.
Right, because they all know, like they're all starting to compare.
As notes.
Notes.
Johnny has noticed that Hallam has matchboxes from a hotel that he keeps going to. And he's like, oh, well, that must be the reason why he keeps going to that hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they precisely know if it's Percy or not, but they have their suspicions.
Well, right. And part of the reason they have their suspicions is, you know, how Percy behaves. But part of it is also like Spargo doesn't even chime in on this. But he has, of course, been taking Hallam to the Dorchester.
Yeah.
And he has also taken Percy there.
No, he's been taking her to the stables.
Mm.
And she's been going from there to them.
We find that out later.
The servants. Anyway, Pritchard says to keep it quiet. Hallam is dining out and Percy's upset and Pritchard notices. So, I mean, it's pretty damn obvious what they are to each other at this point.
It's in front of Pritchard and he's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, Pritchard and the woman go to the movies and tea. Neither of them are drinkers. Ha ha. Spargo.
At the tea, you know, she's very impressed with the fact that Pritchard had met all these stars, like Cary Grant.
That would be cool.
Yeah, it's like she's very starstruck. Neither of them. Oh, God, yeah. Spargo and Beryl start planning to go to the U.S. He is thinking about marriage and kids, and Beryl is shocked. And she's like, well, let's look at the numbers again. And he's like, no, let's leave the numbers aside. And he proposes to her, and she accepts. And that's they're so cute. Sweet. And
the servants are happy.
They are. Spargo tells Hallam.
Hallam is less pleased.
And fuck off!
He won't give him a letter of recommendation because it seems like he's abandoning his country.
Yeah, you're such a noble guy, fucking Hallam.
Spargo gives his notice.
Oh, dickwad. That is the word I want to use for Hallam, dickwad.
Beryl tells Percy about the proposal because Percy prized, and mm-hmm. Percy gives her one of her dressing gowns as a gift, quote-unquote.
She's very deliberate about it.
Beryl goes to Spargo while he's sleeping, and she's wearing her new dressing gown, and when he wakes up to someone kissing him wearing that dressing gown with dark hair in the dark, he thinks it's Percy and he says, no, Percy, what are you doing? Which is the right response.
Yes.
However, the fact that she thought that he was like immediately like, oh, it's Percy, that's a big red flag for Beryl.
Yeah, but Beryl's like, whoa.
Why did you think Percy was kissing you? And and also she had mentioned at one point that the dressing gown was barely worn. So it's not like he would have seen it at any point unless they were fucking.
Yeah.
And so she's upset about that, rightly so.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, it meant nothing. It was before you came here. And that is all true.
Right.
However,
the Beryl's like, you act like this means nothing, but it means everything to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you didn't tell me about any of it. I barely know you. And I'm like agreeing to this. Like, even all along, all I can say is that Percy is horrible. She is a bitch. She does these things on purpose. And she is, people keep bringing up in this episode and the next episode that she's playing games. Like, they're finally onto the fact that these are all fucking manipulative games.
Yeah.
But anyway, so
Pritchard. And the woman go for a walk and talk about World War One and how hard it was to watch people die. He was a conscientious objector, as we all know.
But he doesn't say anything.
No. Pritchard tells Thackeray that his friend will be joining him for tea. She's like, ooh. Spargo tells Percy to leave Beryl alone when he takes her to the stables for the day.
But he does see that Percy goes and goes to the Dorchester. Like, she walks through the stables and walks to the Dorchester, and he sees that.
The servants have tea, and it's pretty awkward because of all the tension.
Yeah, Beryl and Spargo are very, very strained. Like, she's like, I don't know if we're going to the U.S. That's, you know, it's maybe.
Still up in the air.
Yeah.
Hallam has Spargo take him to the office because of the non-aggression pact between the USSR and Germany is finalizing. Spargo's visa isn't priority anymore because of the war potentially starting, and he would need a sponsor.
Right, because he doesn't have a specialized skill. So they say is either you need more capital, more money, or you need a sponsor. And Beryl's worried that he's going to leave her. Like, you know,
she's not doing that. She's like, maybe you should just get one ticket. Maybe we should call off the wedding.
But she also brings up, like, my father was a romantic, and he left us. You know, you have all these romantic ideas. How do I know that, like, if things aren't perfect, you're just not going to just run off? I mean, I can't compete with Percy. She even says that. Mm-hmm. I can't compete with Lady Percy.
And he's like, Percy is poison. You are worth way more than her.
Yeah.
It's so true. They still don't have visas, though, so it's still an issue. Mm-hmm. Hallam can't sleep, and Percy's playing the same music. He kisses her neck.
No! I was so angry. They have sex. Percy says in the next morning, Percy's like, oh, Agnes wouldn't cheat. And I'm like, unlike you.
Yeah, Agnes and Landry were actually lovers. It's not in her nature. It's like, okay, great. But you guys can be.
But this is how the conversation goes from his side. He claims that Agnes has changed. And even Percy's like, well, I mean, you just think she's changed. You know, you've changed too. Hallam is he no longer sees Percy. This is Percy's like, oh, everyone sees me as the brainless younger sister who fell in with the Nazis. And Hallam's like, I don't see you that way. Yeah, I'm like, I see you as a whore. That's how I see you. How can he not see this? But what he says is, oh, you're remarkable and fearless and passionate and you have all of this honesty and integrity in your decision making. Are you fucking kidding me?
I wrote in all caps, which one? The Nazis?
And she's like, well, they're somewhat misguided. And he's like, well,
they're all misguided.
But you have enough passion to risk everything to get what you want. And it's like, and she's like, yeah, so do you. And it's like, No, it is not the English language definition of any of these words other than misguided.
I think the reason I'm not being as vocal, and it might be because my voice is a little bit tired, but also because I'm just done. I let out a lot of my frustrations in the last two episodes, as you guys have listened, hopefully listen. But I'm just... I'm empty. Like, I'm running on empty.
I'm not because I'm still fucking angry.
I'm disgusted. I'm upset. But I've gotten to that stage where it's like, well, you fucked up your own life. I want you to just die.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of truth in that. And anyway, you know, this whole conversation is so annoying. Pritchard and Whitsett prepare for the ball on the day of. I guess they dance and on the dance floor is really cute. Pritchard has bought flowers for all of the female staff and Miss Whitsett with his own money, which is sweet. And he and Thackeray have a conversation like, you know, if war's coming, this is going to be our last trial. Let's make it a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny is dressed up like Robin Hood,
Hilarious.
and Eunice is dressed up like Maid Marian, and they both look really good. I mean, it's they're
Yeah, they're
very,
great.
very cute.
Spargo is also trying to raise money to not lose Beryl and to like be able to afford the visas so that they can leave. He doesn't want to let her down.
Yeah, so but they have this ball at the Royal Albert Hall, and the Duke of Kent shows up dressed as
Is
Napoleon.
Napoleon.
Like, what does this have to do with Robin Hood?
Hilarious though.
It is
No, it's
quite funny.
historical figures and literary characters, Mom.
Yeah, but there's a theme, and the theme is Robin Hood. Oh,
No, it is not.
I thought it was.
The theme is, as I just said, historical figures and literary characters.
So I guess you can dress up as anybody if you like.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Were you not listening to the two times I said that?
What I thought was the suggestion
The
for.
suggestion from Agnes for the household
Well, I thought it
was
was for the
Robin
whole
Hood and Maid.
ball because
No.
he was on the committee and
No.
never mind. Okay, go ahead.
No. Anyway,
Whatever.
Kent talks to Hallam about the issues and mentions that the German ambassador is now being referred now has referred to Admiral Ackerman. So now Hallam's like, oh fuck, Percy told.
Yeah, because he
Percy
knows
is at
because
home.
they're all clear that that leak would have had to have come from the Foreign Office, and he's like, oh fuck, oh
And in
fuck, oh fuck,
case we.
and the word that Kent uses is someone at the Foreign Office has been indiscreet.
Yes.
Oh yes, that's you, motherfucker. Yes, it's you, Hallam, Mr. Indiscretion.
Yes.
Fuck.
And also, there, if as if the audience couldn't figure it out for themselves, we cut over to Percy literally rummaging through his desk, putting her drink in front of Agnes's picture.
Yeah, here we go because Percy is going through his drawers both literally
And
and figuratively.
figuratively.
Yep.
Anyway, Hallam's freaking out a bit. Kent goes to the bar and shows off his cocktail making
This
skills.
is cute, actually.
Kent
He's
is
very
drunk and
funny.
living it up. Love that for
He even
him.
says he's like, I think we should just get drunk and go native. And it's like,
Okay,
all
that's a
right.
weird thing to say.
Well, what he means by that is
Let's just
like,
go crazy and
yeah,
not
go
care.
crazy. And he does. It's hilarious.
Kent tells Hallam to go to Agnes and say, all is forgiven. I'm like, ah, no.
Well, right, he's talking about Agnes, but Hallam's
Because he
like,
doesn't know the full story.
right, and Hallam looks confused for a minute. And I think even Kent's like, something's not right here.
Kent says that they are meant to be, don't worry about it. And Hallam's just like, well, mind your own damn business. It's like, what?
Yeah, Spargo then
Spargo.
confronts Hallam and says, I need money, I need more so I can get these visas. And if you don't give me money, I'm gonna tell Agnes about Percy. And Hal's response is, well, I should, hit you for that or whatever. And I should whoop your ass for that. And as far as like, yeah, you should, but you're not going to. And he tells him like everything that everyone is thinking is like, that is your wife's sister. It is disgusting. Of course, this is coming from someone who has slept with Percy. He
And
knows
also been a
exactly what
Nazi.
she is. Yeah, he knows exactly what she is and what she stands for. And he's like, I want 100 guineas. And Hal immediately gives in because he has no fucking spine. I mean, his dad clearly was right about him. This guy is like too weak to be in this position, but whatever.
Spargo tells Beryl about how he has the money now. Thackeray is drunk and tells the woman that Pritchard is hanging out with that he was a conscientious objector. Pritchard and the woman go for a walk and she breaks up with him. I don't care. Hallam finds that Percy isn't at home
But you
and
know who
she.
cares?
Anyway,
Pritchard.
Hallam finds that Percy isn't at home and she's actually at a hotel giving information to the German ambassador.
Holy fuck.
Pritchard. In an iconic scene that
This is
me
so
that
great.
turned into a meme for our family.
There's video of me imitating
Yes,
him.
there we have all me, the two of us and our listener have imitated this many a times.
I mentioned that earlier in the season that they do some weird photography in the course of this season. This is part of that. They go into this like kind of like weird psychedelic rave type, like photography. Like you see a bunch of different faces and you see Pritchard and he is doing.
Pritchard is essentially fondling a big jug of whiskey or
Or
something.
cognac
I don't
or
know what the fuck it
wine or
is. It
something.
doesn't
It's
matter. It's
liquor,
alcohol.
clearly.
And he's a teetotaler. He shouldn't be holding that.
Mm-mm.
And so he's holding it with both hands. It's almost a handle, but it's not. And he is holding it with both hands, looking at it like Smeagol, looking at the precious. And he's like, kind of like, go almost. It's kind of like a will they, won't they kiss with a bottle, where he's like kind of going in and out, like, maybe I'll do it. It's like he's kind of like, it's kind of like he's sucking off the bottle in a way.
Well, no, he gets will they or won't they, and then he like upturns it and chugs the whole damn thing. And he's like standing in the middle of the dance floor at this ball, chugging a whole bottle of whatever, cognac or something. Pritchard's Revenge.
It means so much to all of us because it is so ridiculous. When we first watched that, we had to rewind.
Because it's like, oh my God.
It's just the most bizarre
thing. It's like a Second World War rave.
It's all so right. Bizarre and it's hilarious. Like, it's the way it happens is so funny. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be, but you know, it is. Agnes returns home and finds
this
Pritchard.
This show is uneven. Let's just reiterate. This show is uneven.
Agnes returns home and finds Pritchard drunk and passed out on the stairs.
And she's thrown up. I mean, he's thrown up on the stairs as well. Like, she nearly steps in, and then she sees this person pass out, and she thinks it's like some vagrant, but it turns out to be Pritchard, and she goes to help him in the house. And we're all grateful that order and sanity is home in the form of Agnes.
Thank God. And we never thought Agnes would be the, like, sanity.
And yet here we are. So we are at the end of that episode, which is a weird fucking place to end the episode, but that's what we're doing because that's how this show is. So what were your best parts?
Pritchard turning to drink at the end. Just for that one moment. It's so funny. Agnes going away with the kids and returning and being a girl boss. I think that this is the best possible thing that she could have done at the moment for her. Do I think in the scheme of watching a show, was it the best thing? No. But her leaving in general for the show, I'll talk about it in my worst parts. But for her, she is absolutely fucking miserable, and she thinks it's her fault at this point. Helm is falling away.
Yeah, she wants Helm to talk her into staying, and he's just not.
She's almost begging for him to like be like, "Oh no, I don't want you to leave." And then he's just like, "Well, when will you be back?"
Yeah, like whatever.
And he doesn't fucking care. And so she knows something's up, and
we'll
talk
about that more in the next episode.
Yes. And then Spargo and Beryl, they're cute. And the Duke of Kent living it up at the rave is very funny to me.
Yeah.
Dressed as Napoleon.
Yeah, I love him as a bartender. And just as an aside, just because this is a life experience that I had that was really very fun, I went to a wedding when I was like 13 and got to like be bartender at the wedding. This is my Uncle Tom's wedding, and my Uncle Dudley was like teaching me and one of his other nieces, one of Uncle Tom's other nieces, to bartend, and it was
what'd
a blast.
You make?
Everything, whiskey sour. I mean, like,
hey,
Uncle Dudley was all about it, and so like he was teaching us to do different things. And
was he dressed
stuff.
As Napoleon?
He was not. Fuck. It was a wedding. He was his brother's best man, so he had a tux on. It was very, very cute. It
That's
was a
so
very
sweet.
Fun wedding.
But we're not talking about that.
We're talking about this fuck shit. So my best parts
That's
are very
too cute for this discussion.
Yeah, mine are very limited. So Spargo is definitely a best part in this barrel for multiple reasons, because he calls down Percy, he calls down Hallam, he's great with Beryl, he's determined, he loves her. I love this.
And once again, Spargo was a Nazi last season.
Yeah, I mean, they clearly have made him a much better person.
We do not support the Nazis.
We do not, but we support him being a reformed man. And he's great. So
he's kind of like if Rolf from The Sound of Music grew balls and decided, no, this isn't.
I'm going over the mountains with.
I'm going with them,
but no. So Beryl, I think, is great in this episode. I really like Beryl's character.
I really love Beryl.
I do too.
And we don't really talk about her all that much. We talk about her in passing, and I'm sure we talked about her more like two episodes ago. But Beryl, I think, is fantastic. I think she's kind of what they wanted Daisy to be. In Down Abbey later seasons, she's the one who calls people out on their bullshit.
Right, but she does it gently.
Yes, and she's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, and she's like, and she does it in like through the proper resources. She tries to go through the correct channels. Like
she's not
always doing, and she's not, it's not selfish. She's doing it mostly for other people like Eunice, yeah. who doesn't feel like she can stand up for herself because she's so young.
Yeah, she's a little more of an Anna Bates, a little bit more.
A like bit that. More of an Anna from early seasons where she's like, yeah. I'm not gonna deal with your bullshit right now.
Yeah, it's like no.
Anna pre-season four for sure. Yeah. But I really like Beryl. I think that she could have been someone I was annoyed by, but she didn't turn out to be, which is a relief. I'm annoyed by too many other people.
Yeah, no, I liked Prichard getting drunk in this. Aside from that, I really don't care. And I like the Duke of Kent. He's hilarious. So I just
this
love
actor's
him.
Great. I really
he
like
is.
Him.
He's, and honestly, I like him so much better in this than in the Gilded Age, truly. Mm-hmm. He's having more fun, and you can tell.
Well, he gets to be at like a rave.
Yeah, like he
doing
gets
up
to be.
Brown.
He gets to be the comic relief, and he does it, well, and also a little bit of a conscience, which yeah. often. And he actually refers to himself in the next episode. I think is you know he has to take off the Harlequin. He has to stop being the court jester,
mm-hmm.
And be serious. But he's always going to be a little bit of you know the fool, right?
And what I love about him is that he also has an emotional center to him.
Yes,
where he
but the
really
fool
does
always tells the truth, right?
He also really does care about Hallam, and it reminds me of I don't know why I was reminded of this, but it reminded me of the line he had last season where it's after David has just abdicated, and he's just like, that love doesn't go away just because he's made a mistake. I still love him, but where does all that love go? How do I forgive him? I don't want to, but I have to because he's my
right.
brother.
Right. So you forgive him as a human, but you don't forgive him as a figurehead.
Exactly.
And you have to find a way to live with
and
that.
Again, this
because
show.
Because you live with him on multiple levels.
Yes. And this show gave us that line, which will stick with me. It's a mm-hmm. it's a great line, and it really does encompass when your family makes a mistake and you're just like, well, the love isn't gone there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just changing forms, and you have to like deal with the consequences of their actions.
Yeah.
And again, this show had so much potential for like all of this shit, and
right,
then it
right.
just
and we
squanders
bitch,
it.
Right, we bitch about the writers in part because maybe they needed a better editor.
They
needed,
they
a better
needed
production
something because they
know.
Had all these good ideas, like Hallam as a character
actors.
In season one, so fantastically written of like but, his journey of like being the moral figurehead of his family and having to deal with all these like complications, like Percy. Remember when she was a complication and she still is, but yeah. or like the Pamela situation or anything like that.
He was a moral man in the first season, and they decided to say fuck
the
it.
Rachel situation. The yeah. fact that they don't like really talk about Lotta all that much in the context of like
yeah,
how
yeah, these last couple episodes, you're not gonna hear about it.
You're not gonna hear about Lotta at all, and you're not gonna hear a whole Lotta, but and. Mr. Amanji is barely a character anymore, which is a shame.
It's
but
a shame, and I love him. Again,
however,
again, you know, a very moral person, and I think that that's
he had some time last episode, which
yeah,
is fine. But that,
yeah.
I pause. I know, I almost know for a fact that they didn't think that this was their last season. But
yeah.
I think that it's so interesting the way that they handled all of this stuff because they have. What I can see is a very like ADHD version. This version is very ADHD. And as a person with ADHD, I get it. But like, you need an editor for sure.
Yeah.
And often you can have all of these great scatterbrained ideas that are like floating in space, and you can like pick and choose a few. And I think what comparatively, what Downton Abbey does really, really well. And again, I know we always compare it to Downton Abbey, but what do you want us to do? Not. And Downton
Abbey.
What Downton Abbey does, I think, very well is that it chooses themes, first of all,
mm-hmm.
themes around a character, have a pretty solid idea of a storyline for them, and they kind of stick to it, regardless of if it's a good storyline or not, but they stick with it. And again, the themes around a character are so important, and they are pretty consistent. Do they have redemption stories? Of course, but the themes around the characters tend to remain the same. For example, like Thomas and all of his redemption and all that stuff. But I think that with Upstairs, Downstairs, there are so many possibilities here and there. Like the Duke of Kent is a pretty consistent guest star, and he is, I think, one of the better ones.
He's basically in every episode.
Essentially at this point,
yeah.
but
he's a regular.
He's a regular. But I think what they do with him is really, really good.
And he's an he's example like the great of some, chorus, or like the conscience. He's the soul, really.
Yes, and mm-hmm. so I like what they do with him, but then with every other character, they just or except for Pamela, they don't mess up Pamela.
Yeah, Pamela.
But
awesome.
Pamela's awesome. But everyone else, they squander them at some point. Except, actually, no, Johnny, they don't squander.
Yeah, they full on throw away Hallam as a character, though.
And whatever ones season. That they're bored by, like Eunice never really gets the storyline to herself.
Which is a shame.
Yeah, because I feel like Eunice is a very interesting perspective.
We're going to talk about the next episode and Eunice and whatever right at the end, I think.
Sorry, we weren't even on worst parts yet.
Worst parts?
Okay, and I'll cap Percy!
Yes!
Percy is the absolute, she is the devil. I hate her so much.
She has no redeeming qualities. Zero.
The fact that she's still trying to play the innocent-ish sister to Agnes, like when Agnes brings up that she's going to Buckinghamshire, and she's like, oh, are you? You need to tell Hallam. You need to do this. You need to do all that. Like, the advice you would give a sister who's, like, having relationship problems when you are the relationship problem. Yeah. Like, you, I'm, and not to say, okay, and I will say this, and I've said it before on the podcast, that in situations like this, where there is cheating within like a marriage or relationship, we often, when it's a female being cheated on, we often, in a male-female relationship, when there is a female being cheated on, we often blame the other female in the situation.
When in fact, it's
Hallam. Who should be blamed?
He's fucking
for
weak.
A majority of it. And to be fair, Percy did like manipulate the situation to like get her way.
But he has been previously smarter than that.
Yes, I think they're both to blame.
They are,
and I think that in general, with cheating situations like that, they are both to blame in general. And regardless, anyway, and Hallam, absolutely not. I'm him trying to justify this in his mind as, well, I did this all for Agnes.
No,
you did it all for yourself. You wanted to get your dick wet and you did it, and you decided that your gorgeous wife, who's trying to make an effort in your relationship, was not good enough for you for whatever reason, and so you fucked your sister.
It's so
that's funny. What you did, and that's all there is to it, and you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, so is that all?
No. Pritchard turning back to drink. That's a shame for him. Whatever. The mind fuckery with the barrel Percy Spargo stuff. It's just contributing to Percy. I haven't mentioned it with Percy yet. Yeah. But yeah, Percy doing that is absolutely. And her, when she's being taken to the stables, she's like, oh, well, I hope that Beryl liked my present. And he's like, leave her alone. Stop trying to fuck with my relationship with her.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I think Spargo should have told her at some point about the Percy situation from before, considering it's in the past and he has moved past it and he has no lingering feelings for her, which has become clear.
You don't know everything about every relationship you're prior.
But I think you should let her know that someone that you both are kind of close with.
Yeah, seeing every day. Yeah, you definitely should talk
about that. You had a relationship with. I think that even if it was just for a summer, it's important to know. I don't care about the Pritchard and the woman thing. I really don't. It was really boring to me, and it kind of was reminiscent of the Thackeray going to stay with her nephew thing.
It was just wasting time. So
like, I like Pritchard, and if this was a longer season and this was just like a random thing in an episode, that's not the end of the world. But it harkened back to, oh yeah, he's the conscientious objector. I was like, I already knew that. Like,
well, right, and all he does is get drunk, which is kind of funny, but at the same time, and that's the only redeeming part of that at all, which there really isn't much.
And Agnes being away, I think that I understand why they did it, and as I said, my best parts, I think it was good for her as a character to go and do that, but for the show, it gives them too much space. It gives Hallam and Percy too much space to be with each other, in my opinion. And I think that if they were still sneaking around, that would make everyone be like, oh yeah, no, we remember that this is bad. Because I feel like, again, they try to switch up on you, because
Again,
Yeah.
they make it seem like it's Agnes's fault. Like there are constant references. Well, she just had that thing with that American. I
Well,
mean,
the
that,
servants, yeah.
right. Now, admittedly, no one knows what happened there, including Helm, because she hasn't really said.
Because he hasn't asked.
Well, right, he hasn't asked, but he, because it is unclear what actually happened between her and Landry, there's going to be speculation. And I think that that element has left her open to some things. And because she feels guilty, that's part of the reason she doesn't talk about it. And she feels guilty in a way that she comparatively doesn't need to, but that's going to come up in the next episode too.
But what I mean is that it leaves them too much room to like have these quote cute moments in when they're having sex or like having these conversations, like praising each
Oh,
other. And
you mean Helen and Percy
yes, I mean
having too
them.
much room?
That's what I was talking about. And I think that it's another feeble attempt at the, for the writers to be like, well, they could be cute if she wasn't a Nazi. And it's like, no.
No.
No, it's bad in every situation, regardless of if she's a
Absolutely
Nazi.
not.
And so, yeah, I don't like that. I don't like it at all. What about your worst parts?
Yeah, my worst parts, Percy in all caps, Helm in all caps, and Nazis. Yeah, Nazis were not in all caps. And that tells you something about this show. But yeah, that's pretty much it. What grade did you give this episode?
I was debating. I don't know if
I
it's a
was
D
too.
minus or an F.
I gave it an F.
Yeah, it's probably an F. I didn't even give that crown episode an F, but I think this is an F because it makes me upset. And it's at the stage where the writers don't know what they want you to feel for anybody to a certain degree. Like, it's giving off very mixed messages, and I don't think that was intentional. So, yeah.
I mean, I gave it an F. And it, I had this like, is it entertainment? And we're screaming at the television. It's clearly like drawing out emotion, but
It's
it's.
kind of what it reminded me of actually when I was thinking about it earlier, is it reminds me of Umbrella Academy seasons 3 and 4 with Allison's character. It reminded me a lot about how, oh, well, we really liked this character, and now the writers have written themselves into a corner where she can't come back in my eyes. And even if Hallam had this amazing arc in the next episode, which he doesn't. But if he, even if he like was like, oh, I've seen the error of my ways. I want to be like, I'm on my knees begging for forgiveness. I'm not going to forgive you. And the thing is, I think Umbrella Academy did Allison way more dirty, or us way more
It
dirty.
went on for much
It went
longer.
on for too long, and also she never apologized for any of her like the things that she did at all,
No.
it, or at least not to the people she should have, and it's upsetting.
Yeah. Now I really feel like much like that one episode in the Crown season 5, there is so much diminishment of a character that is central to the story is something you have depended on and you've just like left them as a shell of their former selves. And that's where we are with Hallam in this. And we are kind of with Agnes because they just take her out of the equation altogether.
Exactly.
So like there's just no center to the show anymore, despite the fact that like Kent's talking about her, and sort of kind of she gets some reference from Percy in this dismissive, oh, but I'm better kind of way, or like let's just like screw some more or whatever the fuck. She's so manipulative, it's just sickening. But the bottom line is I feel like they took what was a good relationship and deliberately destroyed it in a way they didn't need to. Like you could have had the temptation on both sides and whatever, like much like they've done with Downton Abbey. You didn't need to go this full on fucked up bullshit. And they did. And the fact that they went there means that this is shit to me. So
And I
it's a,
think
an F.
another element, and I think I mentioned this last episode, I can't really remember, but I think that another element of it is that they at least kept Agnes's emotional affair morally gray, considering the situation.
They keep trying to make like the Helm and Percy
Exactly.
thing
That's
more
what I
later.
was
It's like,
going to say.
it just
They're
isn't.
trying, and it's like, well, no, it's pretty damn cut and dry, I think, because you
Yeah.
just fucked her sister.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way for you to like come back in my eyes from that. Like, you're
No.
not, you can try all you want to. It's not happening.
Ever.
I don't care if you're hot.
Ever.
It's not happening.
Yeah, no, it's not. And so that is really where we are with this. There's one more episode of this season. Holy shit.
Sorry, I'd also just like to say this is exactly why like love triangles, like I'm thinking specifically of like The Vampire Diaries or The Summer I Turned Pretty, and I know this would mean nothing to you,
It
mother,
means nothing to me.
but love triangles that involve one girl and two brothers can never really work in my eyes, because it's
But
like you'll
one
all
girl, one guy, and two sisters can?
no, it's no, I'm telling you why neither of those work for me,
Okay.
because once you fucked one of them, it's like, well, you fucked my sister.
Yeah.
Like that, I don't think anyone can come back from that, at least in my
True.
eyes. Maybe I'm different, but you know,
No, you're
I
not.
don't think that if I had like a twin sister and the guy I was interested in or was dating fucked her, I'm not going to
Be
forgive you
okay
for
with
that.
that? Yeah, I wouldn't be
Like,
okay with
that's
that.
not happening. Absolutely not.
No.
But yeah.
No, it's really fucking terrible.
It's
And
why like going back and forth between the two is just ridiculous to me. And like, imagine like the mental gymnastics you have to do for that. That's insane.
yeah. Well, so here we are. One more episode of season two of Upstairs Downstairs. Can this show redeem itself?
No.
It's a good question. Hey, it's a good question. We need to actually talk about it. We need to talk it through. We hope that you join us. And
Cheers.
here's